everybody. It is October the 26th, 2011, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. As always, you can drop us a line at thisshowisogay@aol.com, and thank you all for writing in this past week with emails for my mom and dad. They're loving it already. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn about all the fun goings-ons with our dog and pony little gay show. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay. Like us, because we sure as heck like you. We are coming at you. It's like we're on the road again this week. We're coming at you from our brand new studio on my bed, because we're doing kind of a fun little show this week. And who's here?
It's me.
And?
Alex Fisher.
Back again.
You guys are back. Do you know how long it's been?
Since the Brooks House fire in March?
Yeah, it's been 6 months since you guys have been on the show. And there is a peanut gallery on the bed who will laugh at very appropriate moments. So we'll just... Now, do you remember the rules? Like how this works? If I point at you with my right hand?
Oh, Ken, you're so witty.
And if I point at you with my left hand?
Also gorgeous. Or smart.
No, the correct answer. No, that's always appreciated. That's just if I look at you, you say that. But with my left hand, it's, oh my God, Ken... I totally didn't think of it that way before.
That's so insightful.
Right. Yeah. I love when you vamp. So tons of stories. We have so much to talk about. It's like we have 6 months worth of stuff to talk about, except that we're just going to talk about this week's news. So much news to talk about. Are you two ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Peanut Gallery, you good?
Yes.
Okay. People are going to be wondering what that's about. So I do have trans stories for this week. Tons of trans stories. Don't look at my computer. HP. Now,
cheating on the news.
I know, you're cheating on the news. Is there something you want to say about trans stories? Is there anything in particular you would like to talk about?
No, not Chaz Bono.
Why?
I'm over him.
Okay.
Because it's not... Chaz Bono on Dancing on the Stars is not news.
First of all, it's Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing all over them, okay? From what I've heard, dances... all over them, but therefore on.
I love that you just interjected your porn into this whole show. That's going to get edited out.
If you do want to hear about Chaz Bono, there's an interview with Chaz Bono on prettyqueer.com.
Look at that. I don't even know prettyqueer.com.
Imogen Binney. It's a really amazing queer news site.
Look how we're promoting other people's queer sites.
Yeah.
Also, go to thisshowisogay.com. All right, so we have some stories for you. This is actually really exciting. Because this is Brown University, and we like Brown University. Seems like a good place. At least one Ivy League university doesn't look like it will allow ROTC to return to campus after the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Brown University's president says that because the military still discriminates against transgender recruits, it shouldn't be welcomed back.
I appreciate that
a ton. Because people are saying, oh, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's great for the LGBT community.
Yeah.
It's great for the LGBT community. Yeah. Yes. How about that, T? Yeah. So this is a quote from Ruth J. Simmons, the president.
Wait.
Quote,
Ruth Simmons is now the president of Brown?
Is she a former Smith
College
president?
Yes. She's my former president. Well, I was not there when she was there. But then she went to Berkeley.
And now she's at Brown.
Now she's at Brown. That's great.
And here's her quote. Quote, we must do all in our power as an institution to carry the message to Congress, the executive branch, and the military establishment that the policy barring transgender individuals from military service must be changed. Now, conservative news blogs have already suggested that this policy could put Brown at risk of losing millions in federal funding. That's always the deal with if you bar the ROTC folks. The Solomon Amendment, which is a federal law upheld by the Supreme Court after schools challenged it, allows the Defense Department to withhold funding to any school it decides interferes with military recruiting. Now, my fear is that it's going to be a lot easier for the government to say we're going to withhold your funding, because now it's not about the lesbians and the gays and the bis. It's about the trans folks. So it's like, really, I just think the government's going to say, you need to let the ROTC back on campus. If all you're objecting to is trans people not being allowed in the military, I think it's going to make it easier for the government to threaten schools more.
They're going to see it as less of a... I see what you're
saying. Like less of a stance for schools, because that's...
Which is not true.
It could not be less true, but I do not represent our federal government. So, but yay for Brown University.
Yeah.
Yay for anyone keeping the ROTC far away.
Right? Finding more creative ways to do that.
But doing that while also promoting the visibility of trans folks, it's like two birds, one stone.
We love it. We love it. Would you like another trans story? I have another one.
Sure.
So a lesbian couple in California.
That sounds like a lesbian story, which could also be a trans story.
Wow. Won't even let me finish the sentence. So a lesbian, I swear the word trans is in the sentence. A lesbian couple in California has started giving their 11-year-old son, Tommy, hormone-blocking treatments so that he can follow through with a stated desire to become a girl named Tammy. Mm-hmm. The two moms, Pauline Moreno and Deborah Lobel, said they want to help delay the child's entry into puberty so the child can make an informed decision about gender at a later age. While transgender rights advocates are pleased that the child's parents are accepting and even helpful, others see this as an outrageous act akin to child abuse.
Of course. Same as doctors deciding a child's gender at birth. I mean, it's totally outrageous, isn't it?
Wow.
I feel like also if the story were really supportive, it would not have used Tommy or male pronouns. But that's just me.
Oh, well, I don't think that the story is supportive at all. Although this is at gopride.com.
Not necessarily supportive.
And by pride, we mean the L's and the G's and the B's. But yeah. So this is Dr. Paul McHugh, professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University.
I totally trust that Dr. John McHugh, professor of psychiatry, knows anything / has the best interests of the queer community at heart.
Well, but I think that he made the most appropriate comparison possible when he said, quote,
it's like bestiality?
Worse.
Classic.
It's like an eating disorder. Quote, this is child abuse. It's like performing liposuction on an anorexic child.
Boo. That doesn't even make sense.
Better analogies, professor.
Yeah. It's like performing. Listen, he's professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University. He knows what he's talking about.
I say, great job.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there are. Parents. I was reading.
I mean, to parents, not to the professor.
That guy.
I was reading the comment section, and of course, it's always going down in the comment section. And people were really up in arms and saying, why do this to someone who's 11? Maybe wait until his bar mitzvah. I just made him Jewish, but. He's not yet 13, so people are saying this is way too early to be doing this.
I say, have you ever talked to people that know that they're trans at the age of 5?
There you go.
Because that seems...
Do you know people who knew they were trans at the age of 5?
Yeah, many. I know people right now that are 5 that know they're trans. Well, I don't. It's this kid my friend babysits for, but...
I know gay impressive. People who... act like they're 5. That's different.
Different.
That's a different story. Different. And I do want to contextualize this a little bit more. The two moms told CNN that Thomas identified as a girl before even speaking. The child was learning sign language because of a speech impediment and insisted on using the female sign. The child, it's all the child thing.
Well, it's gender neutral.
So I guess that's okay.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. The child threatened genital mutilation at age 7 and was diagnosed with gender identity disorder the following year. The couple has 2 older sons and said that even though they are lesbians, they weren't sure how to handle this situation. I'm sorry, that's a really funny statement. Because when you're lesbians, you should just know. Because lesbians just know things.
Well, and it's interesting that of all of the trans children that are in the world, they chose, of course, the child of a lesbian couple because lesbians have therefore f***ed up their child.
Well, I think
because of the same sex.
I think, and we'll bleep that out. I think that as HB jumped on, that's okay. We will remember. I think as HB jumped on, though, in the first sentence, they led with a lesbian couple in California, not two parents in California. Mm-hmm. So that was very important to the story to say the lesbians.
But I remember hearing a few years ago about schools changing policy as young as like preschool and kindergarten to be more trans friendly to children that were transitioning or choosing a gender different than what they were assigned at birth. So I'm curious why this story is hyping it up at 11 years old with a lesbian parent.
I think you're missing the first 3 words of the story. A lesbian couple. In California, no less.
Oh, tell me hippies.
About it. I know. It's
hippies.
A little crazy.
All right. Gay hippies.
We are going to...
We don't have them in Vermont.
No.
Certainly not.
Even in this bedroom right now. So... People don't know because they can't see. We have like 3 lesbians sitting in the corner just waiting for their turn. doing macrame. I don't know why it was three. I just felt three.
Well, because there are three, Ken. You counted correctly.
Look at that. All right. We are going to play a little music for you all, and then we're going to come back with some more news. Enjoy. We're a little punchy here today.
A little punchy.
I donned a fedora for this segment.
Pork pie.
What'd you just call me?
It's a pork pie hat.
I really don't appreciate that. This is my bed we're all sitting on. God, I haven't been called pork pie in my bed. Anyway, so... Oh, but it's from... I'm not supposed to be wearing it. That's what I was telling you guys during the break. Because it's from Urban Outfitters, and theoretically we're not supposed to be supporting Urban Outfitters.
As queers?
Yes.
We as people.
Queers. Yes, humans are not supposed to be, no, queers. The LGBT community is not supposed to be supporting Urban Outfitters because the CEO of Urban Outfitters takes a chunk of the money that he gets from all of us and gives it to very anti-gay candidates, which is kind of interesting because a lot of Urban Outfitters merchandise is very pro-gay. And so
like
the
fedora. And skinny jeans. Is that where people get skinny jeans?
Do you look at my fedora and think?
Outfitters? I don't think so. I've never been in one.
Oh, I have not been in one.
Maybe
in
I was
hours.
Once.
In hours.
Wait, do you look at my fedora and think pro-gay? Is what?
What?
Fedoras are pretty gay.
Do you think?
Gay.
Hats, generally.
This show is so gay.
Oh my god, you're speaking
gay.
Of...
Tell me.
There's this great article on effingdykes.com, which is a blog that my friend sent me about hoodies and how hoodies are the gayest thing ever.
There are four hoodies sitting on his
head
right
all now. Gays, all hoodies, all the time.
That is so
amazing.
Funny.
To which
hoodies.
I would add maybe fedoras and vests. I personally put vests on the gay giveaway.
I don't own a vest.
Well, you own a hoodie. You're okay.
I know. Four hoodies on the bed and only three people. It's very weird. It's very weird.
I do the double hoodie.
You actually... Well, I was going to say you're wearing two. You're not.
Oh, that counts. All right. So let's talk...
more news.
Well, oh, there's tons more news.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following all this Republican stuff?
They're running for president.
You're really
very
on it.
Fast.
So Herman Cain...
In New Hampshire.
Oh, my God. They're not running
not
very
not
fast.
Fast.
This is going so
They've
slow.
They've all been told by God to run for office.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that God, of course, does not like gays. Because according to Herman Cain, who is... I was listening this morning to something on NPR, and there was analysis of Herman Cain and how he is really the one candidate who is not... peaking and valleying, but he's staying pretty constant. And so his whole thing this week was he said that being gay is wrong and a personal choice, said Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain in a new interview. And this was in a pretty major interview with Piers Morgan. He is the ex-pizza business magnate who has been neck and neck with Mitt Romney in recent polls. And he opened up in his personal beliefs to CNN Piers Morgan on, this was just a couple nights ago. He said, quote, I think it's a sin because of my biblical beliefs, and although people don't agree with me, I happen to think that it is a choice. Now, Piers Morgan, who is pretty LGBT friendly, said, quote, "You genuinely believe that millions of Americans wake up in their late teens normally and go, you know what? I quite fancy," he's British, "I quite fancy being a homosexual. You don't believe that, to you? Do you?" And Kane responded, quote, "That being said, I respect their right to make that choice." That's always cute when you can say it's a choice and also say that you respect it. "You don't see me bashing them."
That's a sinful choice.
Exactly. He said, "I don't have to agree with it." So then I'm going to continue with this exchange because it was really quite fascinating. Morgan then brought up Kane's race, insisting it, quote, "would be like a gay person saying, Herman, you made a choice to be black." And Herman Kane responded, quote, "You know that's not the case. You know I was born black. Pierce, this doesn't wash off. I hate to burst your bubble." And Morgan mm-hmm. finished by saying, "I don't think homosexual, being homosexual, washes off."
Whoa.
I know. Wow, that's really loaded for a lot of yeah. reasons.
It's all
the
over race, the place.
Gay comparison, not equivalent.
No, it's not.
Different. Bad analogy. Again, yeah. back to bad analogies.
Hmm.
Yeah. But also, I see where he's going, Pierce, on this whole, you know, born this way, Lady Gaga thing.
Right.
But
and then it was so weird because
I don't think
Herman
putting
Cain
the race card
something.
In there is kosher.
Yeah, I think it was just the way they went with this particular interview. But Dan Savage,
oh,
we know Dan Savage,
gay.
Mm-hmm. Dan Savage has challenged now. Dan Savage responded
He's
to this interview.
President,
no,
he announced.
He challenged.
It gets better. Dan Savage runs for president.
It gets better and presidential. Dan Savage challenged Republican presidential hopeful Herman Cain. Now, I can't tell you a ton of this story because this is a family-friendly gay show. Mm-hmm. He challenged presidential hopeful Herman Cain to perform a sex act on him to prove that being gay is a
yes.
choice. The It Gets Better activist was incensed at these comments that we just talked about that Cain made to Piers Morgan. And he said, quote, "I think it's a sin because," well, that's actually what Cain said. I'm editing that out. Dan Savage wrote an open letter to Herman Cain, which I can't read at all because it basically, well, I can read a little part of it. "If being gay is a choice, show us the proof. Choose it. Choose to be gay yourself. Show America that's how it's done, Herman. Show us how a man can choose to be gay.
hum, Herman."
Yes. And then he challenges him with a very specific act that we can't talk about here.
You know what it is,
and
Herman.
Then he said, "Name the time and the place." Okay, that's it for that story.
Back to family friendly.
Well, he said, Savage had more to say, quote, "When someone argues that being gay is a choice, he's not just insulting gay people and ignoring the science of sexual orientation, he's insulting straight people. If homosexuality is a choice, then so is heterosexuality. Last night on CNN, Herman Cain said that being straight is something that a straight person can take or leave. Herman Cain believes that heterosexuality is something a heterosexual can decide to walk away from, like an underwater house or a lousy... I thought it said underwater horse. I'm like, wow, a seahorse. Like an underwater house or a lousy meal. Straight people should get angry when they hear a straight person making this argument. So, but you can say that.
Straight people probably have a lot of lousy meals.
But this got him votes. This undoubtedly, he went on Piers Morgan on CNN, and whatever Republicans are watching CNN, which is not that many, he solidified a whole base by saying that. And it's just remarkable that you can say stuff like that. I know that stuff like this should not amaze me, but it continues to amaze me that you can get out there in this day and age, even though the majority opinion thinks that, I mean, it's only 51-52%, but a majority of the country thinks that gay people should be, but it's majority now, that gay people should be able to marry, and that a majority of people do not think that being gay is a choice, but that you can go on CNN and say this and solidify a whole segment of the population just never ceases to amaze me. I don't know.
I don't know, Ken. Not everyone can win a political election by running yes. as a gay candidate.
Ugh, I still...
Some people win by defaming gays.
I talk about that all the time. I talk about it on the show all the time, by defaming gays. I tried to do that, too. I tried to defame gays and
in
win and just say, yeah, I vote for me. I'm gay. I hate myself.
That's why I need your vote to
it's
feel better.
It's my choice
about
to hate myself.
Yes, it's my choice to hate myself. No, it's horrible.
I'm sinning for you.
But I think I told you this, that I know listeners, I talk about this all the time, but I got a lot of flack from LGBT folks in town for talking about being gay when I was running for office because people felt like, no, we're so gay friendly here. That
we don't
shouldn't
need to
even,
talk about
yes,
it.
Yes, we don't need to talk about it, which to me, anytime someone says that means, holy cow, do we need to talk about it more now?
Well, that made me vote for you before we were friends. I was like, oh, gay candidate.
Gay candidate.
I want to vote for you before I even knew anything about you.
Cute.
Yeah, well, that was what I was going to say. And so handsome.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was just from the lawn signs. Mm-hmm. Check schneck.
Check for schneck.
It's just check schneck.
Really?
You're totally adding like a whole other syllable. It's the catchphrase of a generation. Can you just read this headline?
Pennsylvania man set ablaze by friends for being gay.
Oh.
How crazy
friends
is that?
Like the AFSC that's friends?
Well, I don't think the Quakers would burn someone.
Well, this is a man.
Friends of him?
Well, not anymore. And that's, by the way, the last part of the story, because that's my favorite line in the whole story. So a man in Heidelberg, Pennsylvania says he was set on fire by
really
two
intense.
Former friends because he was gay. WPXI.com published a story about Stephen Iorio, who's 37 years old, who said after a night of drinking in September, he woke up at a friend's apartment around 3 a.m. and discovered his leg was on fire. How crazy is this? This is the world we live in. He called another friend who urged him to go to the hospital.
Good.
I thought I was going to say. He called another friend who said, you should put out the fire. According to the story, an eyewitness told police that Brandon Washington and David Blair poured a bottle of rum on Iorio's leg and then set it ablaze while he was sleeping, all because he is gay. They wrote disgusting things on his pants. They even drew on his face. Iorio said he doesn't remember much because he had been drinking and was passed out at the time of the alleged assault. And at the last line of the story, Iorio says he no longer counts the two men as friends. I would hope that.
That's an intense story.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
I haven't heard that.
In Heidelberg, Pennsylvania. I don't really know
where
that is.
It makes me wonder if they were being friends with him only to set him up for something like that. Like, how long are you friends with someone who's gay and you don't like them because they're gay? And then, you know, at what
point
do you,
like, that
makes me
feel like, oh, he's passed out. Here's our opportunity to set him on fire.
Wow.
This is really intense.
Yeah. It's really intense.
This is bleep, bleep, bleep intense.
It is. It is. But, yeah, I mean, it's one thing if you're in camp and you decide, oh, the person's sleeping, let's put their hand in warm water.
Right.
But no, we're going to, and not that that happened to me, but it did.
Did it happen to you because you're gay?
I don't, well, I definitely was the tennis player in camp I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think I challenged gender norms when I was 12, 13 years old. And I think that made a lot of people uncomfortable. And I think that was, you know, my mom actually just asked me. So folks heard that I was home in New Jersey last week for last week's show. And we were talking about bullying. And my mom asked me off the air, like, do you consider what happened to you bullying? And that was a very interesting question to me, because I think that she was feeling, we just talked about how my mom had said, parents need to stand tall. I think that's a direct quote. Parents need to stand tall for their children, which was such a great moment just to hear her say that. But at the same time, I think that she probably was wrestling a little bit with the things that happened to me in high school and this being, you know, 16, 17 years ago and not feeling like what, you know, her not knowing what it was that she was supposed to do. Now, I was never assaulted. I was never physically pushed or anything. I'm sure I was pushed a little bit. But it was, you know, I had those couple guys who spit on my car every single day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
every
still assault.
Day.
It just...
So, and I want it. Like, I still want to get in touch. There's one dude in particular.
Should we call?
I really would like to call him because I know I can easily find his number. Because I know that right now he
Mitt Romney?
Is...
Put him
is,
on the Mitt Romney.
It is. It was Mitt Romney. No, but it was... I mean, I won't name his name, Phil, but he is now the football coach for the high school that my mom went to. And
what high school?
Dumont High School. This is going to be really easy for people to look up.
In what town? In Dumont?
Dumont,
New
Jersey.
Jersey.
But, you know.
Where's that, Dumont, New Jersey?
In right in Bergen County.
Oh, Bergen. In
Bergen.
Morris.
That's my people.
I'm
yeah,
from
we
Morris.
Know, yeah, that's southern. So we hope to talk to you all. But the people on the north side, so he's the football coach there, and I want to make sure, because I think he's also a teacher there, and I want to make sure that he's not still doing stuff like that, because I could totally see him being the football coach and saying things like he said to me.
Mm-hmm. Or saying things that his football players are hearing that they're then taking out on students that they're, you know, that are their peers. Or,
I really
you know.
Worry about that.
Yeah.
Is this like the kind of thing now where I need to go back and edit this out because I shouldn't be saying something identifier for this guy? I mean, hopefully he's changed and that's not who he is anymore. But yeah, this dude made my life hell in high school. And it worries me that he is in that position. And so, I don't know, people can change though, right?
But that's also the reality of things like Herman Cain running for president, who is making lots of queer people's lives hell by saying things, and he gets to run for office and get a lot of power. And it's just a smaller microcosm of how power in this country works, that you can obtain it by being a bully.
Yeah, but I don't know. If this dude runs for office, I would be the first to stand up and say, this guy bullied me in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I wonder how many, because you don't hear that all that often, do you?
Well, people are, I mean, when you're running for president, you're very good at keeping things out of the press.
Yeah. I would recommend football coach Dumont, New Jersey, do not run for office, because I'm going to be so out there saying, hey.
And you've already successfully run for office. So.
Exactly.
We'll beat you to it.
Exactly. Hey, some coach. Quick Prop 8 news. A federal judge. See, this is so funny because it's the Prop 8 stories are kind of constant because it's just ongoing in California. A federal judge in Sacramento ruled last week that Prop 8 supporters, ProtectMarriage.com and the National Organization for Marriage, our favorites, are not entitled to block their campaign finance records from the public.
Hmm.
And I don't even, fine, whatever.
What does that mean?
It just means that they have to disclose
who their
money.
Funders are.
Yeah, who their funders are, which is a good
story. Wait, which side? Who has
ProtectMarriage.com and National Organization for Marriage.
So the people who were fighting against.
You can see who they are.
Right. Now, that's not even why I cut and pasted this story. I just am so struck by the number of the amount of money that they've spent on this. The two groups who the Associated Press reports raised the majority of the $43.3 million. I just can't get past that. That $43.3 million was spent to back the anti-same-sex marriage bill. And then the rest of the story, which is great. So they have to disclose this now.
That's a lot of money.
And we can talk about that after the next song.
They could just pay me that to not get married. That's fine.
Wah! You and your choice. But you look at we'll talk about the Occupy Wall Street stuff, but you look at all the Occupy movements, and then you look that $43.3 million was spent to back Prop 8.
It's a lot.
I don't know.
Most of that money came from out of state.
It came from out of
Almost
state.
All of that money came
from
out of state.
It came from people who were spending money to keep other people from getting married. And this show is 3 years old, and you would think that I'd be over this naivete, that stuff like, and in some ways I don't want to be over this naivete, that people don't spend this amount of money and this amount of time to do things like this. But they really,
they do.
It's crazy.
In Oregon, when there was marriage stuff happening, some great people started a website called, I think it was called knowthyneighbor.org. And they took the public records of folks who had funded the anti-same-sex marriage campaign, and they put them on a map, on Google Maps, and you could look and see how many of your neighbors were financial backers and, go talk to them.
Nice.
It was amazing.
Well, that's what Margaret Cho says all the time.
It was amazing.
One of the best things to happen to this country is when they started coding those U.S. maps red and blue for the red states and the blue states, because now you know where all the stupid people are. That was Margaret Cho. That was not me. That was not me. All right, we're going to play one more song, and then we have tons more to talk about. So hang on.
Well, if you treat me good, I'll treat you good. I'll do the things nobody told you that somebody should. If you're the type to fancy a well-deserved reprimand, then kindly take your place beneath the impact of my hand. Yeah, if you treat me good, I'll treat you good. Heartland taught me everything I know. With golden rules and golden fields of corn all in a row. A loyalty to the underdog and all things left to rest. Always a benefit of the doubt to trust. And if you treat me good, I'll treat you. Western boy's got plans for you. He's taking note of what makes you scream when you do. And with this arsenal, he'll launch an all-out attack. No remorse, with consent, of course, till skin forfeits to blues and blacks. And if you treat me good, I'll treat you good. you treat me good, I'll treat you good. I know that from the things we do that this is understood. Like when you hold me like I'm asking to be broken if you don't. Break me when I'm asking to be broken. If you treat me good, I'll treat you good. Like when you hold me like I'm asking to be broken if you don't. And break me when I'm asking to be broken. If you treat me good, I'll treat you.
All right, coming at you from Ken's bed, we are back. That's just what we call the studio now. It's not like we're actually all sitting on my bed in my apartment. It's just what, it's our euphemism.
I'm in a swivelly office chair.
That was extraordinarily convincing. All right, so we have some stories about education. So this is more on the, really, this happened story? That's going to be our new segment. Really,
this happened?
And it is, will always be represented by someone who was set on fire. But this is the Monroe County Board of Education in Tennessee is reviewing its dress code after high school student Chris Siegler was allegedly harassed by his principal.
What?
For wearing a t-shirt that read, quote, Gay Straight Alliance, we've got your back. Oh, I want one of those.
Oh,
in support of establishing a GSA at the school. So this is a group of students who are trying to start a Gay Straight Alliance and they're meeting with opposition.
That's not even inflammatory at all.
And yet, earlier this year, Siegler and other students collected 150 signatures on a petition to form a club at Sequoia High School in Madisonville, Tennessee. But a counter group of students started circulating their own petition against the GSA. Principal Maurice Moser then announced that any students discussing the GSA on school grounds would face punishment.
Oh my gosh.
Students were also...
Not taking a side, of course.
No. Right.
That's his way of not taking a side.
I really, and I know you just saw this on my Facebook, I was just watching my so-called life that had exactly the same thing, where they had the literary magazine, and the principal said anyone found to be distributing the literary magazine will face punishment.
And Angela Chase does it
anyway. She totally did it anyway.
What a babe.
I know.
What a babe.
This is like a town where they outlawed dancing and then made it into a movie, a musical, and then a movie again.
And then a bad movie.
No, it got really good reviews.
It looks awesome.
It got really
good reviews.
How are
you going to redo Flashdance?
Bacon? No, it's Footloose.
I mean Footloose.
Bad gay.
But next they're going to do Flashdance. That's where I was going with this.
That's like when I... See, it's a radio show. So if I go like this and then go like this, people can't see. But what I was doing was I was pulling the water and it was going on me. All right, so principal...
And then he danced.
And then I danced.
But we edited it out.
Yes, we did. So he said that students would face punishment. Students were also told that they could not form the club without a faculty sponsor. Several teachers initially stepped forward with interest in sponsoring the club, but they all withdrew their interest after a meeting with the principal.
When they were fired.
Threatened. So the student, Chris Siegler, said this quote, "A lot of kids get harassed at our school because they're gay or they have gay friends, and we just want a space where we can all support each other and do something positive."
Good job, Chris.
On September 27th, Siegler wore the shirt in protest. He was told to cover up the shirt, but 2 days later, he wore the shirt again.
Ooh.
That's
dirty
when...
Hippie.
No, you don't even know. This is when this story... This is the principal. That's when Moser came to Siegler's economic class in the middle of an exam and demanded that all other students leave the room.
What?
Siegler's sister, Jessica, refused to leave.
Good job.
Both siblings said Moser grabbed Chris's arm, shoved him against a wall, and chest bumped him several times while asking, "Who's the big man now?"
Oh my God.
The attack ended. First of all, where's the teacher? Did the teacher leave
the
room?
The teacher left with the students? What?
The attack ended when Siegler's mother arrived at the school to find Moser leaning over her son, shouting in his face. Moser eventually agreed not to formally suspend Chris.
Oh,
that was nice of him.
God.
Stipulating that the student leave the school grounds for the remainder of the day.
What? And he get fired?
Right?
This happened.
How?
I know.
So many questions. Who,
this
what, when,
happens.
Where, why?
It's just crazy.
What?
That is totally
But nothing
outrageous.
In this article has anything about what, how he's not fit
no.
to be the principal.
Well, right. I will say that this did just happen. So I think they're still trying to figure out what to do. But needless to say, the American...
Not suspending him immediately, like they're the teacher, saying yeah. is happening to the child.
Right. Well, it's interesting that immediately they keep... All the stories are about how that teacher from New Jersey is going to be suspended because of her Facebook post. But this dude is a principal who pushed this kid against the wall. It's crazy. It's
and
crazy.
Ordered
all the other students out of the room. Yeah. Like, that alone, you know, like...
You're not actually supposed to ever, like... Aren't you kind of never supposed to be alone?
Yeah, what I learned... I mean, I do have a PhD in educational administration, which I got with other principals. And we learned, it's this theory, it's an old theory. I don't remember who the theorist is, but thou shalt not chest bump a student.
Okay, I never thought about it like that before.
I really just turned that into a commandment, too. Yeah, I did, like, biblical language. But yeah, you're not supposed to. Needless to say, the American Civil Liberties Union is on the case.
Wow.
So that's going on in Tennessee. And I talked last week, do you know the musical Xana Don't?
I've heard about it.
Play on Xanadu?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's about a high school that everyone is gay and two straight students come out as straight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I talked about this with my mom last week on the show, that there's this high school in nearby Hartford, Connecticut that put on the show as part of their anti-bullying campaign, the musical. And again, as I said last week, please do not write me angry emails if you're a supporter of Xana Don't. I know every single word to this musical, and it's horrible. Those two things are not mutually exclusive at all.
Kind
so,
of like Train songs.
There you go. Hey, I love Train. What do you think this poster is? No, there's no poster. Train in my bedroom. But
it's just a mural.
It's just
Fred.
A mural. It's my artistic representation of Train. The fallout from this continues to be... Oh, so in the musical, two guys kiss at one point, and a group of football jersey-wearing students walked out in the middle, and now parents are getting really involved and saying this was totally inappropriate. This musical should not have been shown, even though they tried to warn students, which that word warn drives me crazy. Inform, I hope, is what they actually tried to do. Inform students that this was the content of the musical. So that continues to be a story in Hartford, Connecticut, about Xana Don't. It's really, it's horrible.
Is it on roller skates?
Oh, it's not. It is
skates.
So...
Is it Xanadu on roller skates?
Xanadu, the musical, is on roller skates. I never saw it, but yeah, it's on roller skates.
Really,
Xana Don't is not. It is really, it is a really bad song.
Is it at least the...
And a bad musical.
Well, the...
And I love it.
The storyline? Is the storyline good?
No. The storyline...
is awful.
It's not good.
Except that it's
you
a gay
should
high
listen
school.
To last week's show, maybe.
It had the guy, one of the guys from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. The one
judging.
Who had... Well, no, he was Xana.
Xana!
More judging.
Yeah, well, because he was the guy on... Do you remember... Did you ever watch Queer Eye for the Straight
yes.
Guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
He
more
was the
judging.
One who had no purpose. You had the food guy, the interior design guy... The grooming guy, food guy, interior design, the grooming guy, a missing one, the clothing guy, the fashion guy, and then you had the culture guy who never had,
who
would come on.
Who was just gay.
Who was just gay. He would say things like, make a mixtape. Like, that's what he would say to get the guy to be with the woman. Make a mixtape. I don't think he had any other suggestions in the history of the show.
That's a pretty powerful suggestion,
but
frankly.
But I want to make one right now.
It worked for you, Ken.
It did. That's
I'm here.
How
I'm here.
I got everyone onto this bed, air quotes, except we're on my bed. So the culture guy starred as Xana and Xana Don't. So that's how a lot of people went to go see it. Huh. And there's a song called What You Want, and it's a come-on song to one of the chess players. It's not a good musical.
Chess players.
And then there's a competitive mechanical bull riding scene.
What?
I swear to
and
you.
And it's not good?
No.
It's really hard to make those things not good.
I mean, it's so campy that you can... Again... I don't want any emails from people who wrote
yes, you
the
do.
Musical.
At
I really
the show is so gay.
At AOL.com.
At AOL.com. I love that I still use AOL. But
I
now
think that every time you say that, it's so
I just
funny.
Think it's kitschy at this point.
I mean,
it's
it
like
is.
I'm a holdout.
Yeah,
it throwback. Might as well be at Prodigy.
That's Prodigy.
.net.
I admit, Prodigy was great. Anyway, so that's going on. So that's a small group of high school students who left. The parents are now getting involved. And the occurrence has spurred international headlines and a condemnation from social conservatives who charge that the school has, of course, a gay agenda. I would not charge that the school has a gay agenda. I would charge that they have really bad taste in musicals because it's not good. It's
which
not
is actually
good.
Anti-gay.
Yes.
Which is anti-gay.
Again, every word. I know every single word to the musical. I love it, and it's horrible.
Did
so,
you play Neil Patrick Harris's really amazing gay musical number from the Tonys?
No.
Oh my god, it's so good. It's good.
I should play that.
It's funny.
He's
right
great.
Now?
I don't. No, I can't play right now. But yeah. We have more news to talk about.
More news.
We have more news. We have to cover the Senate because we like talking about the Senate. A Senate committee has declined to modify a pending education bill with two LGBT-related amendments that would have required anti-bullying programs and banned LGBT discrimination, though the sponsor of one of the amendments expects to attempt to add the measures when the bill is considered on the Senate floor. And
is the response to that just, yes, I promote bullying of queer kids?
It's,
how do they frame that?
Well, the frame, I actually talked about this last week too. One of the frames that they're using now, this is the new argument, is that we shouldn't be adding protections for LGBT students or even LGBT adults who want to get married because, and stop comparing it to race and women, because LGBT people now are too politically powerful for them to be compared to minorities that don't have political power. So they don't deserve the same protections.
Wait,
this
that's
is
the reason
argument.
Why we shouldn't compare them?
Yes.
I understand the whole...
This is the new argument. This is the new argument that LGBT folks do not deserve the same protections because they have so much political power here in Brattleboro. I don't know. I mean, like,
where? Here on this bed.
Huh? Here, right. The Even on this power. Bed, I'm questioning my political power. And it's my freaking bed. So, yeah, I mean, and by bed, air quotes, we're in a studio right now.
Swivel chair. Whee!
Yes. Do you guys want to, you want to talk about the Occupy? I would love to get your take on the Occupy movements, because I was on, do you know Steve West?
No.
Steve West hosts Live and Local on AM 1490 WKBT here in Brattleboro.
Okay,
we love Steve West, and Steve and his lovely, and his lovely partner, Jen, co-hosted the show a few weeks ago, and they had just gotten back from New York, and they were... and I hope this comes out as positive, they were just glassy-eyed from being in New York. I mean, they really were
inspired.
Just so inspired. And I say that so positively. And I was a little down on it, because I'm still a little bit down on this. And Jen was very specific on the show, saying movements like this are specifically not for people like me. And I'm like, who are people like me?
Right?
And I agreed with her 100%. People like me who want to know where this is going to end up and want to know exactly what their goals are and how they're going to accomplish these goals. And apparently that is the exact opposite of what is happening with all the Occupy movements, that it's not about right this second where we're going to end up and how we get there. It's about what can we all coalesce around. And so one, we brought this up on the show, So Gay, because there are a lot of LGBT organizations that are saying the Occupy movements are not gay enough, that the LGBT community is disproportionately affected by corporate greed because of the disproportionate number of homeless LGBT youth and not getting any marriage benefits and not having a whole load of surgeries covered by any health insurance anywhere. And so if there's ever a cause that the LGBT community should be making more gay, it is the Occupy movements, which I thought was that had me more invested than I had been. What do you think about the Occupy movements? Are we a fan?
I think it's complicated for me as someone that identifies as an anti-racist, anti-capitalist queer, because in the sense I'm with you on the what is this about, what are the actual demands, what are the politics of this movement, but at the same time I'm super behind it because it is a force that has not happened for so long in this country, and because it doesn't have a set agenda, it is open to being highly politicized in a way that I think is a positive direction. So I see it as a huge opportunity for folks that have been doing really amazing radical community organizing to use their experience and step in and see this as a moment to work with people that have not gone to protests, have not been in consensus-based meetings before, have not done political education around race and power and politics in this country. So for me, it's a huge political moment to be involved in. But
what
I
about as a farmer?
As a farmer, I'm really curious. You know, it's I don't understand. It's interesting. I just don't understand how people are there all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I get it. Also, at the same time, like when I was in college, you know, I think it's a lot of that young energy and having like not 9-to-5 jobs and therefore like a more flexible schedule of people coming in all the time. When I was in the Bay and had like 4 jobs, I could go to protests at 9 in the morning and 5 at night and 3 in the afternoon on weekdays or Sundays or whenever. But as a farmer with like a really steady schedule, it's hard. But I'm also glad that people are doing that because I can't, because I'm out there growing food so you all can eat and survive.
What happens if I'm sitting here thinking right now that I'm not sure I've ever been to a protest? Is that possible?
You can come tomorrow to Brattleboro.
Yeah. What's
I mean, you can come last Saturday.
What's going on?
There's solidarity rallies that are happening that are highly sponsored by Vermont Worker Center.
Okay.
Which is also another reason why I'm excited to be involved, because I highly support Vermont Worker Center. They're one of the only grassroots statewide organizing groups here in Vermont. They're behind the Healthcare is a Human Right campaign. They're incredible. I really support their politics. They're explicit about how they organize and what they organize behind. So the fact that they are the one of the major forces behind solidarity rallies here in Brattleboro makes me want to go out and support Vermont Worker Center and their agenda. I mean, I have a lot of issue with the word Occupy. And a lot of people that are in New York that are at Wall Street, like at these
Liberty
protests,
Liberty Square,
yes. that are stationed there.
That's the old name, also.
I'm confused.
Liberty Square is the old name?
Yeah, because, well, that was the original name, and now it's called Zuccotti Park, named after the developer, which is also a really interesting story with the park and public space.
Do you support the Occupy movement?
Well, the interesting thing I think about the specific place in New York that it's happening is the story around what that space is and how it came into being. And apparently all over New York City, and especially in downtown Manhattan, there are spaces that private developers have turned over to semi-public space. And in turn for doing that, they get special privileges for building their buildings taller or doing other different things like that, which a lot of people don't know about. Zuccotti Park or Liberty Park.
But I think these could be more gay. And I do think they need to be more gay.
I mean, a lot of the criticism is they could be led by more people of color. There could be more age diversity. There could be more queer leadership.
There could be more people who did alternative routes through education. Because aren't they saying that this is the most educated group of protesters there has ever been?
Well, and it grew out of a call from Adbusters, right? That's my understanding anyway. Is that Adbusters magazine kind of like put out this call for people to start doing this movement, and then from there it's kind of been, you know, growing. So it's not necessarily totally, you know, grassroots happening spontaneously, which is fine. Adbusters does a lot of really good things.
Myth that people showed up and that's how movements start. Like,
I mean, there's definitely Rosa leadership. Parks. There's definitely, you know, people who are behind it.
The story this week, which they're still trying to figure out if this is true or not, was that the producers of The Real World were casting down there. Did you see that? So we're actually, I actually need to live in a world, or even just sit on this bed and believe that that's not actually what happened, because
that Real World is not forming a Real World Zuccotti Park.
Yeah.
We're all living in a tent.
I'm just going to say, I bet, like, you know, Fox News is going to do that for us.
Oh, yeah.
And this protester got mad at this protester.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
There was a really interesting article, and I can't believe I'm going to be plugging the Huffington Post, but in the Huffington Post about, I guess from General Assembly, people have put the folks at Occupy Wall Street have put out sort of like a new Continental Congress type of idea, kind of saying like, okay, on July 4th of 2012, here's what we're going to do, and people from this movement are going to elect all these leaders from all these different districts. And there's
cities.
Very
urban-focused.
Very urban-focused.
Sorry.
Zuccotti
Park is seceding from the rest of the country. That's what I just heard.
It's like kind of unclear about what is going to come out of that, but it is interesting to be like, okay, we're going to elect all these people, and they're going to talk about some stuff. And no one really knows what that is.
No,
but, you know.
I see. This is why I need more concrete goals, and I need a method to achieve them. And again, I know that that's probably, and I regret. I said I was going to go this week because I was in New York, and I didn't.
I'm going to go.
Are you going to go
in 2 weeks? whatever the Halloween weekend is. I have time off. I'm really excited. You know, the thing I was going to say before also is around the term Occupy.
Yeah.
Is not friendly at all to Indigenous people.
Right.
Right. It's like, hi, this whole country's been occupied for over 500 years. Yeah.
Slash Manhattan specifically.
Yeah, there's and Wall Street specifically. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really intense history there. And so to me, it's really funny because I'm like, I want to be in solidarity with the economic justice aspect of it, but bring in a critique of race politics.
Yeah, which people are doing.
Which people are doing.
They could be doing it more, obviously.
Well, the media, no, it's that the media could be covering it more. It is happening on a really successful level.
I agree with that. I think
actually down there in the General Assemblies, it's being brought up and it's very emotional and very intense. But to me, is that what's frustrating is that this movement is called the Occupy movement. So now it's been branded with a term that is controversial.
Right.
It's not the Wall Street movement or the economic justice movement. It's the Occupy movement, which to me, I'm not supportive of specific, like, majority white-led.
It's a very male word, too, though. Yes. I just, it's just a very male word. I don't know.
I just think that's a little bit ironic and annoying, but I am very, very critical of a lot of things, and I'm trying to be really supportive of this and trying to figure out how in Brattleboro, Vermont, and this is a general thing for me as someone that has done a lot of urban organizing, how do you take what the media covers in urban areas and what is popular style of community organizing in major cities and apply that to small rural towns in states that have no major cities.
And well, I think there's definitely a lot. I mean, there's still a lot of corporate reach in this town. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of,
absolutely. But in terms of all kinds of things,
we're not actually going to go sit, you know, like there's not going to be a mass number of people that are going to live in, like the commons and get that kind of media attention the way that it's happening in New York. Like it just logistically is very different, but it doesn't mean that there's not something that's going to happen. It's just in terms of how in a rural area do you show solidarity with an action that is very urban.
Well, and I think that's, I mean, we've talked about, you know, putting your money in a credit union. Mm-hmm. Like there are very real things that people are calling for on Wall Street that people in rural areas can do to be in solidarity that also have real effects in places that don't have a population of 8 million.
But then but that's acceptable to me, is if you go to and I don't have anything else to call it, a solidarity rally, and you walk away with a piece of paper that has a bulleted list on what it is that you can do, that people who go there get that. Not just that they go, look at all the people who honked their horns at us holding our signs.
Right.
That doesn't... Great. I don't know. I just don't believe that changes a ton. But if you walk away saying, look, you need to add at every institution you're at, you need to add sexual orientation and gender identity or its expression to your non-discrimination statement. You need to just a real shop locally. You need to put your money into a credit union. You know, what does it do to go in Brattleboro to show solidarity? I don't know. I don't mean to be down on it, and I'm going to get more nasty emails because I got them last time I said this with Steve and Jen. But anyway, all right.
I think there's part for me as someone that's gone to so many protests and rallies and every
so
time,
many.
Well, as one Ken says, I don't know if I've ever been to one.
Yeah,
I'm currently leading the Occupy Ken's Bed movement.
I love that movement.
Oh my god, I love it. Oh, you can read all about it on Craigslist.
I will, because I was gonna say that I am almost after every single one jaded, and then do it again because there is this sort of community building that happens at those events. For me, it's not always about victory in terms of your campaign, but building a base and having places where people can come and see, kind of like a GSA, where you can come and support each other in your political stance and in your willingness to take a stand against something.
I do not accept that unless there's a sign-in sheet. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I do not accept that unless there's a sign-in sheet at the movement where people are... I absolutely believe in building your base, and I think the way to build your base is to do it generally first, but having an event that doesn't coalesce people into something that you can then call those people again.
Yeah, just, I agree. I don't know.
All right, well, we do have to talk about music because we're actually running out of time. We have to talk about music.
There's a lot to cut out.
And there's we probably won't though because that was fun. So we're not going to cover all three songs because I feel there's one that you're okay not covering. So we played at the start of the show the Scissor Sisters' "Take Your Mama." Great song. Great song.
It's good.
And then we played. We played "If You Treat Me Good."
Adam Roland.
Who is that?
Him.
Adam is a dear, dear friend of mine. NHB's from the Bay. Well, he's from St. Louis, and he lives in the Bay. He's just an incredible, incredible musician. You can check him out at riotfolk.org. And he has many CDs. He's just...
And he plays a lot of different things. He plays with guitar and the accordion and sings and all these
and whistles.
Hey, we got to get Adam on
and
the show.
And he has incredible lyrics. Yeah, she should
and
get
really
on the flow.
Really gay, really
he's
fabulous.
On the, flow, on the show. Very gay, very fab, very smart.
Awesome. And then Zoe Bookbinder?
Bookbinder. Also from the Bay in Santa Cruz. Friend of a friend, and I just love her music.
Awesome.
It's so cute.
Well, Zoe is who's going to lead us out for tonight. And that actually brings us to... the end of our episode from my bed. I know. It was good times. So you can, as always, send us a lovely email, not a critical of me email. But you can be critical of co-hosts. That's fine because I'll pass that on to them.
This show
is, I know. This show is so gay at AOL.com. Get all your people to write in. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about our co-hosts. And you guys, now, you know what happens. On your second show, you get to submit a picture and then you get a so you will see all of our co-hosts and you can listen all the way back to our very first show. But please don't listen to our first show because it was horrible. But it's on there on the website. And of course, go to Facebook, type in "This Show Is So Gay," click like because that's how we do it. That's pretty much it. So get out there, folks. Go do some incredible things. Use your voice the way you know how to use your voice. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be
so gay?
The headlights through the window from the car that turned the corner. We watched them on the ceiling, overhead in bed together. Only I was all alone, you didn't know what you were missing. We could have missed it together if only we had been there kissing. I pedaled with no hands tonight on my way home from the festival. Flew over the speed bumps and I felt so damn inexorable. Thought of different words that I think go nicely together. I'll write them down 100 times and sound out every letter. I am I-N-E-X-O-R-A-B-L-Y, E-N-A-M-O-R-E-D with you. I am I-N-E-X-O-R-A-B-L-Y, E-N-A-M-O-R-E-D with you. I am I-N-E-X-O-R-A-B-L-Y, E-N-A-M-O-R-E-D with you. Do we love each other? We're equal amounts of ugly. There's a narcissistic pleasure knowing that you're so fond of me. I thought that this and you and us would feel so very heavy. But I carry like a feather lovely thoughts of you round with me. Is it in your stock or in your plume or in your downy tufts? I wonder where your love is and if it is enough. I am I-N-E-X-O-R-A-B-L-Y, E-N-A-M-O-R-E-D with you. I am I-N-E-X-O-R-A-B-L-Y, E-N-A-M-O-R-E-D with you. Is it in your stock or in your plume or in your downy tuft?